What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token, and you're listening to the Well-Spoken Token Podcast. Here on the show, we talk about everything on the black nerd spectrum, like anime, comics, movies, and trading card games, all through the lens of a backwoods black boy from East Texas. I'm a 28-year-old college dropout with a lot of life experience, and hopefully you get some sort of enjoyment from my perspective. Make sure you check out our socials and tune in every Wednesday for new episodes. This is the Well-Spoken Token, and I'm out. And we are back with another episode of the Well-Spoken Token Podcast. What up, everybody? What it do, though? So happy to be back with you guys another week. You'll never believe it, but it not only is it another week for the pod, it's another year round the sun for your boy. I'm hitting you guys up on my birthday. I'm Big Deuce 9 today. And I'm so goddamn excited to celebrate it, starting off with a pod. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning, and I'm trying to get it to y'all as best as I possibly can, but I wanted to let you guys know that I love each and every one of you. Hope that you're enjoying this beautiful November 17th day. Shout out to all my other November birthdays. My man High Five, rest in peace Jimi Hendrix, also a November birthday. Just anybody that's got a November birthday, Big Scorpios. My mama is not a November birthday, she's an October birthday, but she's a Scorpio, so I give her the love. My stepmama, I love her to death. Her birthday is not far after mine. She's also not a Scorpio. She's the one that comes right after. She's like a cusp Scorpio. Though. I'll be like, you might be a Capricorn, but I claim you in the Scorpio gang here. So again, I love you guys. Thanks so much for being here on the pod today. So today, guys, we got a myriad of topics. We're going to hit a couple of different things. But first up, because it was my birthday, I got a chance to go watch a free movie. You know, motherfuckers want to take you out on movie dates and stuff when you got birthdays. So moms got together with some folks, and we went to go see The Eternals. And I was, Marvel's Eternals. There's no the in front of it, as I had to find out from multiple Googles and looking shit up beforehand. And if you're not a big Marvel fan, if you went to go see this movie, you were probably confused. You're like, if you don't read Marvel comics, then it's just a big ass origin story for characters that you don't know, with minor mentions of characters that you do sort of know. Like, if you look at that bitch, like, they made Doctor Strange references in the movie, but weirdly enough, they kept making DC references in the Marvel Eternals movie. Like, at one point, some kid runs out and is like, oh my god, it's Superman. You know, you run around with eye lasers and shit, and the guy's like, I don't wear a cape. And I'm like, okay, so that acknowledges that Superman is a part of the Marvel Universe, but as a comic book and not, like, as an actual hero. And then they're like, there's a Wonder Woman reference later on and a Batman reference, I believe, later on. I'm like, damn, Marvel, I don't know if these are digs or these, like, attempts to try to, like, mend the net. I don't know. Is it going to be, like, a crossover movie eventually? Like, we're going to do the new Flashpoint movie is going to be like a Marvel, an MCU and DCU like crossover. I mean, I doubt it would ever happen. Freaking the Mouse and Warner Brothers, they don't really fuck with each other too much. I hadn't seen a whole lot of mixes between the two. Like, I don't know if you're ever going to get fucking Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny going head to head at it somewhere. It's kind of a shame that Warner Brothers doesn't like make Bugs Bunny just the mascot. Like, nah, we got to have the WB. That's us. The WB and that fucking Smacky's frog. Guys, if you don't remember, the Smacky's frog used to be a jazzy frog. Used to get up and sing about in the WB. Now, I realize that some of you might be listening and thinking, hey, isn't this a Dave Chappelle Killing Them Softly bit? I mean, it kind of is, but he didn't fucking pioneer talking about the WB and their previous mascot. So I'm not going to shy away from giving you guys that same damn tape. But no, seriously, guys, I really enjoyed the Eternals movie. It was a really fun romp through this thing. And if you are a fan of the Marvel comic books, then you recognize some of these characters as Eternals. They are presented in slightly different ways because, you know, it's the MCU, so everything has to be a bit grounded somehow. And especially when you're trying to connect and build over, you know, 30, 40 different movies that are planned over the next few years. You have to kind of set up your own mythos so that it supports your world. but it had a ton of really great characters. Breakout performances from my man Brian Tyree Henry, man. Like, I love that this man gets like blockbuster parts and shit now these days. Like, the man was in Hotel Artemis. He was in fucking Godzilla. As a podcast nigga with a podcast, I always love that shit. I mean, it's a conspiracy theory podcast, and that ain't me, but I give a shout out and respect to a man for grinding on TV and shit, you know, wanting to get up against fucking giant dragons and goddamn dinosaur monsters and shit. It was incredible. I was like, good job, Brian Tyree Henry. You stuck around for the whole action. You're exposing this fucking company. Down with the man. Brief fucking summary of his role in fucking Godzilla. But here in The Eternals, he plays the technological genius Phastos. And what I thought was really cool about the Eternals in the comics and also in this movie is that each of their names, right, is kind of a play on a different legend or myth. Right. And the reason that is so that it opens up the kind of the idea that, because the Eternals, the way it's the Eternals themselves, they are the Earth's first technical, like, super team, like superhero beings that were out to protect humanity from something. So that's kind of how they're labeled in the movie. And then also as they're branded kind of in Marvel Comics. They are the first ever. They were serving back in times of the Macedonians and, you know, Babylon and shit. So we've been talking like thousands of years over in the course of Earth history, these characters have been around. And so you got like Brian Tyree Henry's character Phastos, who is you know, in the MCU, the inspiration for the Greek god Hephaestus. You know, the ugly dude that was chunked in the volcano, and, you know, basically the smith of the gods, just in case you didn't brush up on your Greek mythology. They also have Angelina Jolie, who surprisingly did not get as much screen time as I thought. And then as I'm thinking about it now, I'm like, was it really all that surprising? Angelina Jolie, she was only going to get some screen time. She didn't necessarily probably even want to be just that super involved. But then as I'm seeing it, she is, you know, by the end, it looks like it's setting up for a sequel for sure. And she's still around. So who knows? Maybe in the second Eternals movie, she'll get more screen. But she literally in this first one had like probably 30 minutes of like on-screen time. And most of those were fight scenes where she wasn't saying shit. So I'm like, damn, did they just like dole out this cash to, you know, get fucking Angelina Jolie and then not use her? That's kind of like the same thing that happened with the Dune movie. I checked that out too as well. I'll talk about that in a bit. But with Zendaya, if you were looking to check out Dune and you were like, oh my god, Zendaya's in it and I can't wait, it's that same situation. You get in there and you're gonna see her for probably like, you'll see a lot of flashes of her, but all in all, she probably has like 12 lines in the whole movie. Same situation for Angelina Jolie, but she plays the character Thena, T-H-E-N-A. And so Thena, the goddess of war across fucking galaxies, apparently inspired the story for Athena, you know, the goddess of war in the Greek pantheon. So the list goes on. You know, you got Makari, the fastest of the Eternals. She's the speedster of the bunch, and she also happens to be deaf. So she's all sign language the whole movie, but she is the inspiration for Mercury. And one thing I will say about the Eternals, you know, besides how great it was and how much I enjoyed it and stuff, is that it did feel a bit like inclusion soup. And what I mean by inclusion soup means that, like, they were just trying to get every marginalized group, if you will. Basically, if there's been a problem with them in the last 10 years, they are featured and placed out there. There's even an Asian. You got Gilgamesh, who I racistly thought was Wong from the Doctor Strange mythos. He wasn't. It was an entirely different Asian actor who's way more built and way brawnier than that. And I got to give respect to that guy. Did not look up his name, but I knew he was not Wong by the third time I saw him. I was like, damn, I felt bad. Not all Asians look alike. You slap yourself on the wrist, motherfucker. And so You also had dope performances from a guy by the name of Kumail Nanjiani. I always feel like I'm going to fuck his name up. But it's just Kumail, K-U-M-A-A-I-L. I mean, either way, he's not going to call me and tell me I fucked his name up. But I thought his performance was really good as well. You guys might remember him from the movie with Issa Rae. He was just in, I think it was like The Notebook or some shit. Fucking Lovebirds. Nothing like Notebook at all. It's a comedy with featuring those two. He was hilarious there. I thought, the movie was kind of a up and down here. It didn't get the best reviews, but him himself was pretty damn funny. And in this movie, he does not disappoint. He ends up playing a character by the name of Kingo, and he be like, just a light spoiler for the movie, he's like a generational movie star. So basically, like, every generation since film was created, he's basically been a movie star. It's just each year he switches identities. So he's his great 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 grandfather way back in like the 1800s and shit, and then as film progresses, he becomes his grandfather and then his father, and now he's him. And so this man has become or built the greatest film dynasty like ever. And so I thought that shit was hilarious. And it's mostly all Bollywood movies. There's a point where the Eternals got to split up and such and go about their own ways. And that's what this guy ends up deciding to do. So there's plenty of comedy in the Eternals movie, as well as a bit of sadness. I wouldn't necessarily say anybody's going to fucking cry, but it's an epic. So damn epic. Marvel thought they could clock that bitch in at 2 hours and 36 minutes. I was very surprised hitting the 2 hour mark. Like, damn, we still going through the whole damn ending fight scene. Like, the big bad evil fight scene is still happening. We got 30 more minutes of this. This is crazy. How much are you gonna give me, Marvel? How much more? There's another character named Druig. I cannot remember. Yeah. His name was Barry Keoghan. Keoghan, K-E-O-G-H-A-N. And homie played a dude that could control the minds of human beings. And his storyline in the movie is really cool. Like, he has a moment where he has to watch some atrocious things happen, and he decides that he doesn't want no more parts of this and goes kind of a little bit AWOL. You guys, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out. Another character, Leah McHugh, plays a sprite, or not a sprite, but a character named Sprite. And she has the ability to create illusions. And that's the whole squad, the whole team. Well, except for like the Icarus nigga that flies, but you're gonna get that character very simply, very easy when you see him. His name is Icarus. Lots of sun motifs. You know what possibly could go wrong for that nigga? Another character played by Selma Hayek, Ajax. But again, another character I would love for you to actually see on screen and watch. You don't need necessarily as much introduction for those characters. When you watch them, you're gonna love them or see them or hate them, depending on what you're feeling be about the movie and such. But Marvel's Eternals is going to shake up the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that is, because with the addition of the Eternals, we start making our way into a path frame for the mutants on Earth, which means we might get MCU actual X-Men and shit like that. I've mentioned that in the past, that they've been trying to get the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and have had issues of doing so over time. Multiple chances, opportunities with some of these storylines that have been coming out, like cosmic energy in the Infinity War, or freaking vibranium from Wakanda. These are all things in the comic books that have affected Marvel mutant physiology. So with the Eternals, I think this is the nail in the coffin that's going to let us get mutants in the MCU, just because in the comic books they are pretty intricately woven together because of creation by the Celestials and things like that. I don't want to bore you guys too much with the full like in-depth drop on it, but let's just say that the Eternals eventually end up causing the mutant outbreak. And so give us a few more movies and we'll likely be seeing the likes of Angel and Cyclops and the Beast on screen again for the Marvel Universe. We've talked about birthdays and I've been super excited and pumped for you guys, but something that I can't shy away from, even though it is my birthday, Astroworld, the Travis Scott situation. For those of you guys that don't know, and I'm surprised that you, if you don't, you know, some people don't watch the news, some people don't, you know, dig into social media like that. So I understand, that makes sense. But there was a tragedy that befell the Houston area on November 5th. At Travis Scott's Astroworld concert, there was a tragic crowd surge. And that crowd surge ended up causing the deaths of 10 people. It was just confirmed. The death toll rose yesterday, day before yesterday. One of the, a 10-year-old who was in the crowd actually passed. But essentially that crowd surge ended up having 25 people hospitalized and more than 300 people treated for injuries at the festival's field hospital. Travis Scott does a large concert, like I think annually, like every year, called Astroworld, named after, you know, the classic Houston theme park, where, you know, he gets a great deal of people together, and it's an opportunity to celebrate music, to just enjoy seeing, you know, some of your favorite artists, you know, on stage and having a good time. But with this particular concert, it would spell tragedy for a lot of people and a lot of families. First of all, before we get into deep into there, I want to offer my deepest condolences, prayers, midichlorians, you know, vibes, feels to, you know, family members of people or people that were hurt or harmed during that time frame. You know, I ask God to reach out and touch y'all, wrap y'all up in his arms, and, you know, keep y'all comforted and safe as much as possible during this hard time for your families here. One thing I'll say about this concert situation is that it's become kind of a hotbed for discussion when it comes to concert etiquette, or when it comes to just how we plan to function from now on with this kind of like large scale mass casualty type event occurring in something like this. So to give a little scope here, November 5th was the day of the concert, and on that day, there were multiple services that were attempted to, you know, coordinate. There were multiple services all trying to coordinate on that same day. You've got festival organizers, promoters. You've also got you know, city leaders, people who are the fire department, and they've got like the emergency services that are all trying to coordinate at the same time, because they're planning on having about 50,000 people there, which is a fuck ton of individuals all crowded together after you know, the great pandemic of 2020. So it's something that everybody's a bit on edge about. Everyone's trying to, you know, get down their P's and Q's, but for some crazy ass reason, when the fire department and the emergency people attempted to run a dry run of the area, just basically go through and take a look around, figure out where they could set shit up to be more prepared for all 50,000 of these individuals, they were denied. And when asked to try to, you know, hey, where are we setting things up? Where are things going? They were just given a map and a cell phone number to reach out to people. And I think this is where a lot of this this trouble ended up starting, because there were the venue opens up at about 11 a.m. And there's supposed to be 50,000 people there, mind you. But by the time noon hits, 55,000 people are there. So 5,000 extra people managed to get in, because by the time they started, like when people started lining up, they lost control of the perimeter. They said that people were coming in with like bolt cutters and shit on all different sides of the gates, just trying to get in and see Travis and all the other performers and shit. So with 5,000 extra people there, this place is way above what the capacity was designed for that night. And besides that, emergency services have not been able to properly get out and set up the way that they're supposed to. So when things got hectic, when things got real and people all over the festival started having issues, because absolutely during a big show, there's going to be people who are recreationally trying drugs. You know, they're doing shit that they usually wouldn't do because this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for some people. So they like to ball out, get wild. So, you know, people prepare for shit like, you know, overdoses, heat strokes, shit like that. But in the crowd, you got people who are having seizures. You have people who are having cardiac issues because the more and more that's going on, like the throng of people are all pressed together, just spots and spurses through the crowd, like things are happening. And medical services can't get to these individuals who are having these emergencies. And I mean, seriously, there were people having full-on seizures out there. You know, for a multitude of reasons, I can't necessarily say I wasn't, you know, I can't tell you why the person had a seizure, but they're recorded and reported as doing such. But with all these people, you know, cram packed together, it's very difficult for, you know, motherfuckers to get a stretcher through. Yeah. You got 50,000 people. This person's in the middle of the front, the middle of the concert. You know, you got to push past at least 20,000 people just to get to that individual. And so at one point during the show, there was a surge of people. Everybody just kind of bum rushed one area. And in that surge, there were people that were knocked over and trampled and harmed. It was terrifying. There was one particular woman that said she was trying to get out of the venue at 2:45 p.m. At 9:45 p.m. And she was not able to actually get out of the venue until 2 a.m. Meaning that she was stuck in a throng of people and a massive of bodies for hours on end, just trying to get out of this crazy situation. And so, you know, that's like a traffic jam for fucking people. And if you've ever had rush hour traffic, you know, just imagine what it's like to have, you know, 50,000 other individuals all around you at once, or 49,999 other motherfuckers around you at once. It was terrifying, as some people were really putting it here. And what's wild is that during this show, or after all this, after all this went down, people were trying to find someone to blame. So they were pointing fingers. And the first and the easiest finger to point things at, and where a lot of this kind of initial backlash went to, was to Travis Scott, an individual who is incredibly philanthropic in the Houston area, is consistently giving back to his community, has helped build outreach programs and things like that. So he's always been kind of a person that's cared about his city, about his area here. People were pointing fingers at him, like, how come you didn't stop the show? You know, what was going on? Were you that concerned with the money? You know, did you just not give a damn? Were you attempting to incite a riot? Which I believe he's been, you know, an attempted charge on that too, from another city, where they said that he was attempting to incite a riot amongst people. But, you know, sometimes when it comes to this music stuff, people are so passionate about it, and these wanton areas, everybody's pheromones kick the shit up. You know, people, you know, they surge. We're herd animals, you know. So when shit got popping, what was Travis supposed to do? At one point in the show, he did spot a person actually having an issue, a young man, and he stopped the show and he asked security, come, like, not security but medical, to come and get him. And so with that being said, it's like, it's not as if he is, you know, ignorant to the plight of other people or anybody out there suffering in the crowd. But his team has talked about it. And hell, if you've ever looked at one of his shows, or if you've been backstage, or even had the privy to watch a backstage concert, you know, documentary or video, you see that they've got a headpiece on. They've got monitors, like speakers, that are directed towards them. They've got flashes going off, flash pots that are exploding, fucking lights, strobes going on, consistent shit just all the time. And so in the ear, like in his earpiece, he's got the music, his own voice, the monitors are blaring that stuff back at him. So he really can't see most of the shit that's happening out in the crowd, and he really can't hear most of the shit that's happening out in the crowd. So it's almost impossible for him to be able to control all 55,000 motherfuckers or police, you know, to make sure that people are okay out there. That's why when you go to an event or when you go to a venue, right, the people that organize the event, they're the people that set up medical. They're the people that go through and get in touch with emergency services so that, you know, when something goes down or if something goes wrong, that people are able to get the aid and the help that they need. But with this situation, this venue was incredibly underprepared. And I hate to say that it was a venue in my home state, you know, a venue out there in Houston, Texas. I have been to so many shows. I've been to metal shows. I've been to hip hop shows. I've been to rock shows. I've been to folk shows. Like, and, you know, I've seen mosh pits get insane. I've got a chipped tooth from when I went to a ruddy mosh pit. I mean, excuse me, a ruddy concert, Podunk White House, Texas, in a library. I'm used to a semi-violent experience when I go to shows because it's just so much energy all like crammed into one space. And I was never afraid for my life during these time frames. I knew what was coming at me, and there wasn't 50,000 people, right? But I could feel how when I saw the story, when I looked, I thought back to these shows and these moments, and the closest thing that I could think of was when I went to see Childish Gambino at the Southside Ballroom in Dallas, Texas. And there was a crap ton of people. I mean, like, it wasn't no 50,000 people, but it was the most I'd ever seen crammed up right against me. And I had worked my way out into the crowd and was having a blast, was having a really good time. I had my girlfriend at the time with me. And we were, you know, just having a good time listening to Childish and shit. And then I heard World Star getting ready to come on. Which if you haven't heard Childish Gambino's World Star, hold on. Here's a throwback to 2011 for you. Huh? Like, this intro is so like distinctive. You know what's happening.
Damn.
Blow out World Star before rap. You already know that. So fresh prints, they are about to bring the show back. Listening to Kilo, we can't cost a kilo.
Hair so long, I'm about to bring a throwback. Man, that song was iconic at the time for Childish fans and shit. So when that shit popped off, it was notorious for like people to get together and just go as ham as possible. So I knew, I was like, oh shit, I don't need to be in the middle of the strong crowd because I could already feel people kind of like swaying back and forth. And I saw people like half off their fucking feet to look like they're doing the Michael Jackson fucking lean dance where, you know, you just lean all the way over and like nothing, like you're fighting gravity or some shit. That is exactly what it kind of felt like. And I saw people like damn near fall over if it wasn't for other people kind of holding them up. And so 55,000 people all slammed together at once. I cannot imagine the terror that these people that were actually trampled and had to go through this stuff went through. And again, like I said, my prayers to them. But during that show, there were people that actually did get hurt at the Childish Gambino show, but it was like one or two, and they were very quickly able to get help. They were very quickly able to be removed from the area so that they could recover and recuperate. That was not something that people were afforded at this venue, and it's because of that unpreparedness. Nothing to do with Travis Scott and his want to perform and be there for his fans, excuse me. And so I'm hoping that in the end that this whole thing doesn't come back to haunt someone who's done so much for his community and is continuously attempting to do more for his community and his people. This blame falls sorely on the organizers of this event. Now, with all this coverage that it's been getting, the incident has been memed all to hell. But one particular subsection of memes that kind of started pissing me off, they kind of ticked me off, is that the metal community is coming at or coming after Travis Scott or hip hop fans that are like, see, we've been moshing for 20, 30 years and shit. And the rule of moshing is when someone falls, you pick them up and shit. And it's just tons of memes that kind of flow off in that direction, that saying that hip hop fans and things are inexperienced moshers. And so they don't have any compassion or the ability to kind of reach out and pick somebody up after they fall or something bad happens to them in the midst of a crowd. But I don't think these motherfuckers really understand, you know, the processes that you have to go through when there's 50,000, 55,000 people all around you and shit like that. It ticked me off. I was like, don't come for fucking Travis Scott. I've been injured plenty of times at a metal show. Just because you don't fucking fall, yeah, it doesn't mean that you can't be fucked up. I said earlier I chipped a tooth. I've also been punched in the nose in the middle of a show. I went to go see Arsonist Gets All the Girls and Oceano, and that shit got live. Like, at one point, the lead singer of Oceano, who's this fucking massive nigga, this big silverback gorilla looking ass nigga, at one point, he just kind of rips the mic and he's just like, even in the Bible, there's no God. And then it just drops. Bass is kicking and the drums are going fucking crazy. And this guy is basically telling all of these people here in the venue, in the small Knights of Columbus area, to fuck each other up. He's just like, I want a fucking circle pit, which is basically where the crowd kind of splits off in this big area, in this like a big circle in the middle. And then whoever is crazy enough to want to runs around the fucking circle, just moshing their asses off, whether you're a crabcore guy who's just flinging, or a crabcore guy who's just damn near on like all fours, just go reaching between your legs, just hands go pulling the shit out that lawnmower, or you're a goddamn a hardcore dancer and you kicking the shit out of people. Hardcore dancing was always the shit that kind of deterred me from fucking moshing all that. I loved moshing when it was like a push mosh, which was, you know, you just get in there and everybody's just bumping each other. You know, it's like, oh yeah, this is crazy. You know, I'm gonna jump against you, you jump against me. It's like a belly bump, but from the shoulder, and it's rowdy, but it's not too much. And then you just got like a full-on mosh pit where, you know, sometimes there are fists thrown. And I mentioned the hardcore dances, and the reason they fuck with me is because their moves are so violent and they're so fucking wacky and out of the blue. Because there's at one point they have the windmill move where they just, you know, fucking grab one shoulder and just whip the arm around and around in a circle as fast and as hard as possible. And like, you're supposed to try to look or make sure nobody's around, but when you're in the moment, a lot of the times people don't. So they're just fucking windmilling the shit out of their arm as fast as a fucking saw blade, getting ready, like just this big cudgel clobber ass fist on the end of it, just building up some tripital force ready to fuck somebody up. They've got this move where they just like in the middle of the windmill, they'll just throw the arm to another side, so all of a sudden like the trajectory is changed, so it's not just, you know, fucking around and around a circle, it's like across ways, like a fucking scythe or a sickle blade or some shit. These motherfuckers are really getting it, and it's very difficult in a small space to watch a hardcore dancer just like fucking flail around. There's a kick move they've got where all of a sudden after the windmill and after the fucking scythe swing or some shit, they've got a fucking mule kick that they just do out of nowhere. All of these things have made me want to fuck up a hardcore dancer before. I've just been in the middle of a pit having a great time, and then some guy will come out of nowhere, just like windmilling his fucking arm around and catch you in the back of the head or the neck or something. And there's a couple of options. You can get mad, or you can, you know, get into a fight. And, you know, you just learn in the community to kind of deal with it. I've seen motherfuckers get their whole gauge ripped out their ear from this kind of stuff, where just somebody wasn't paying attention and just windmilled back and hit somebody. So when it comes to the metal motherfuckers picking on hip-hop, I kindly ask y'all to leave us the fuck alone. Y'all know y'all got y'all faults and shit, and in this particular situation, it's too goddamn sad and tragic for you bitches to be coming at us that hard and shit. So I'll try to end everything with a little bit of humor, and again, you know, just want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, hey, you're loved. And when it comes to these concerts and shit, be careful, you know, be aware of your surroundings as you're going through, because apparently a lot of motherfuckers out there don't necessarily care And I'm not just talking about people who snuck into the venue and, you know, who got too excited and rushed the stage. I'm talking about like the individuals you're paying money to go and sit in their fucking venue spaces and shit. Not the artists you love, but the people that are renting out the building to that artist. Those guys do not give a damn about you. So be prepared anywhere and everywhere you possibly can go. Outside of sad news, we got new nerd shit coming up. Guys, I'm about to say something that I didn't think I was going to say for a good little bit, especially after we've got DBZ Kakarot, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, that just dropped on the Switch. We're getting another Dragon Ball game, and this time it is not, I repeat, it is not a fighter. It's not a side-scroller fighter. It's not a 3D fighter. We're getting a Dragon Ball Z game, a Dragon Ball Z horror game. Yeah, it is a not a Dead by Daylight clone. If you guys don't know what Dead by Daylight is, it's a horror survival game, if you will, where they take iconic villains, and some players will play the villains, some players will end up playing actual civilians or victims that are they usually end up being. But it's a fun game where the villains and the monsters are going to try to hunt down the other players. And they've got all sorts of ports like Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Nemesis from freaking Resident Evil. But, you know, they didn't have the anime subsection knocked down. So I guess somebody said, you know, we need a Dragon Ball horror game. So that's what they're giving us here. The way it's all set up is that you're going to play as either Cell, Majin Buu, or Frieza, and they might add more later on, but these are the three that are confirmed just off rip. And you play as these characters in their imperfect forms. You know, here's looking at you, Cell, because, you know, he starts off as imperfect Cell, and then as he absorbs the androids or as he absorbs it, he becomes more powerful and is able to attain his other forms. You know, Frieza is naturally able to metamorphosize and shit, so he is, you know, got all of his forms and abilities. The hot twist, though, is that the civilians that you get to play in the Dragon Ball game that are trying to avoid being, you know, fucked off by these DBZ villains are people like Bulma and Oolong, and then it looked like a couple of spares like custom characters or just random civilian characters as well in there. I think the game will definitely have more than just these five main characters, you know, Cell, Frieza, Majin Buu, Bulma, and Oolong. I'm really hoping to see like Puar or Yajirobe in the civilian area section. But essentially, the villains of Dragon Ball Z go down and hunt down these people, and it's pretty fucking scary because whereas, you know, you've got Freddy Krueger who can, you know, jump around from your dreams and shit. And, you know, he's got claws, you know, terrible razor claws that could really slice you up. That's bad. You know, Nemesis is a giant fucking zombie man with tentacles and stuff and a minigun. That's pretty scary. That's pretty sad. But what the hell are you going to do when the giant green cellular a fucking abomination drops a Kamehameha wave on your city or your town? Yo, the answer is Oolong is that you just morph into a rocket. Because you guys don't remember, Oolong has the ability to transform as well into random objects. And so in the game, like, one of his moves is literally like transforming into a rocket and going to like an entirely different area. You have access to Saiyan space pods as transformation, transportation. You've got Trunks's time machine also made an appearance in the trailer. I was like, okay, I see you guys out here. We got all sorts of references and shit for the DBZ lovers. You have opportunities to really take a trip down memory lane, but in a terrifying sort of way, because the Cell Saga in itself was actually kind of scary right there at the beginning, because you don't really see Cell's face off rip. You like, it just shows up and Yamcha and Tien are just kind of walking around a city, and it's all of these motherfucking cloth and clothing out on the ground where people have been just like fully absorbed by Cell, and the only thing left on the ground is their clothing. And you're like, oh my god, what's capable of this, you know? Because usually when something bad happens and a great deal of people are killed in the Dragon Ball Z universe, you don't got to see their bodies or fucking broken blood bones and shit. Usually they're vaporized by whatever energy attack these motherfuckers used during the actual invasion or fight. Not this go around. Not with Cell. Cell was out here leaving remnants of shit for people to find. And that was terrifying. So I guess that feeling is, well, hell. And then I think Majin Buu is actually pretty scary as well, because like nobody wants to be stabbed. But how bad would it suck if you got transformed into fucking chocolate? You know, or you just, or a shitty candy like a Jawbreaker. You know, Ed and Eddie made that shit look so delicious. It was very underwhelming, but it would suck to be a Jawbreaker and get eaten. You know, freaking Freeze is probably the least scary. I was like, space pirate. Space pirate with lipstick. Yeah, I know that's just his natural like species lip color, but I had to make the joke. I couldn't help it. Not as scary, and I guess that's why, you know, Frieza's an anti-hero now. He's like actually can be seen as a good guy in some sense. Not a good guy, but like definitely someone who's, you know, contributed to the well-being of the fucking universe and shit after the tournament of power arc and stuff. Which, who knew that one day we would be looking at Dragon Ball and going, damn, you know, Frieza, you know, rooting for Frieza and shit. So that's Dead by Daylight Dragon Ball. It's called Dragon Ball The Breakers. It's coming out real soon. It's only on PlayStation 4. Not going to go make the leap into the PS5. But I think that's because it looks like it's running on the Xenoverse engine. If you guys remember Dragon Ball Xenoverse and Xenoverse 2, they had 3D open worlds and hub worlds that you could kind of explore. So you get a chance to see the bit of that in the trailer. They look very similar, so I'm willing to bet that it's the same engine, and that's why we're not, you know, getting next gen Dragon Ball The Breakers. I think the original cast actually signed on to redo some of their roles, so that's really dope that we get to, you know, get Sean Schimmel back out here, you know, doing his Goku thing, you know. I hope that we see Sean Chumel at least in, if not by, you know, Goku standards, at least King Kai standards. Like, I love that man. Can we get more of him, please? Speaking of love, there's new developments in the Spider-Man No Way Home situation. The official trailer has dropped, not just the teaser trailer, not the preview trailer. The official trailer has dropped for the movie, and there are tons of new Easter eggs, tons of new homages that you get to see just from the trailer, and it just continues to confirm that this movie is going to be huge. It's going to be epic. Maybe this is the multiversal movie that pulls the DC universe in. I doubt it. I'm just fucking around, but it definitely will contain tons of people from the Spider-Man collective universes here. At one point during the trailer, you're actually getting a chance to see a suit featured in Marvel's Spider-Man, the PlayStation game, the Sony exclusive. It is badass, but it's the suit that you actually get at the end of the game in your final fight with Dr. Octopus. And it was pretty epic the way Spidey uses it in the game. And so I'm very excited to see what type of gadgets he's got built into it in the MCU. We also get to see Jamie Foxx suiting back up as Electro, and guess what, guys? He ain't blue no more. He doesn't have to be like stuck out as a fucking Smurf Electro or anything like that. He gets to be the real deal, crazy, weird, masked Electro with a cool combat vest and shit. You only see him for a little bit of time, but he's like, "You're not taking this away from me," and I'm like, "What does that mean? Is he doesn't want to be fucking blue anymore, and now he's got a chance to just be regular and he doesn't want to let that go?" Alfred Molina is having all these like wonderful fun moments with you know, the new Spidey trio, Zendaya, Tom Holland, and their homie, I forgot his name, Ned. I know his name in the show is Ned, but I forgot his actual actor name. You know, no offense, yo. I'm sorry. But, yeah, they have a lot of funny stuff back and forth between them. Like, at one point, Doc Ock introduced himself as Octavio. And they were like, no, what's your real name? And they just had a great little laugh about that as well. We have multiple Green Goblin confirmations. Like, last time I talked to you guys about the teaser trailer, we knew that it was going to, we heard Willem Dafoe, and I was like, okay, we definitely get that Joker. I mean, not that Joker, but that Green Goblin. But in this trailer, we actually see one of the newer high-tech hoverboards. And so we know that it's not just Willem Dafoe Green Goblin. It could also be his son. And now we know for damn sure it's not going to be James Franco Green Goblin, just because he's been so damn blacklisted in Hollywood. So it could be a Dane DeHaan Green Goblin mix-up, where you get a chance to see the Andrew Garfield's Green Goblin make a debut. Or secondary debut in this movie. You still have not seen hind hair of either Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire in the actual movie, but there are multiple Spider-Men. Like, you do see that for sure happening. You just haven't seen behind their masks. And I say Spider-Man, but there's definitely Tom Holland Spider-Man, and then there's another one with the suit that I mentioned from the other game, which I'm thinking that's probably going to be Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, only because in the Marvel Spider-Man game, the guys really favored Andrew Garfield Spider-Man instead of, like, you know, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man or Tom Holland. So I think that he would be the best choice to kind of fill that role, fill that suit. The only problem is that the guy in the suit looked a little bit more stocky than Andrew did in his Spider-Man costume. So I don't know. There could be a wrench in my scheme there, and it could really just be Tobey Maguire kind of masquerading as well. We also got some real cool, like, homage moments where, you guys, I don't know if you guys remember back in the first Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, where the pumpkin bomb flies through and it's really close to his face, and there's this slow-mo moment where, you know, this thing is about to explode and possibly, like, fuck up my homie's face, because it blew off his mask in the first ever Spider-Man movie back then. I doubt it fucking Tom Holland Spider-Man is not even wearing a mask when encountering this fucking pumpkin bomb, so we don't know what's happening there. We've got a Zendaya falling moment, so Mary Jane's falling off of a set of rafters or that have been built up there. That's always a motif or moment, you know, Mary Jane falling, Emma Watson falling, not Emma Watson. Yeah. Emma Watson, but her, like, the character's name was not, it's Gwen Stacy falling. So we hope this time that motherfucking, Pete catches her, because this whole movie seems to be about this nigga trying to stop Dr. Strange from fixing his mistake that he made previous. Like, where, the trailer just basically picks up the same way that the teaser does, that Peter has informed Mary Jane that he is Spider-Man, and the world has already been, you know, kind of told that he's Spider-Man. He goes to Doctor Strange to get this whole thing fixed, and they cause, like, wacky racist shit ensues. There's a Scooby-Doo reference in there, which is another WB crossover type situation. Is Scooby-Doo owned by WB, or is that Hanna-Barbera? I bet it's Hanna-Barbera. Either way, lots of blurred lines in these new comic book movies and shit here. So with all these blurred lines, I've also got blurry eyes, y'all. So get ready to call it. I've got some wonderful music for you guys from one of our good friends of the pod here coming up. Our boy High Five recommended this artist, and you know, we get down with white boys too. This is Gringo the MC, American Pie.
Gringo, what's up?
Y'all,
you hear
the song with the...
Hey, yo, Ren,
turn that up.
Yeah.
Oh, hold all
the
steam
looking
ass.
Hold up.
I pull up, I shot. Took a finesse and I'm trying to find me a reason to die. Ain't getting high. Smoking this blunt with no feelings. I'm numb to my pain and my pride. American Pie. Damn it, my homies is hurting. My mama too tired to try. They told her shit, but it didn't apply. She hit the fan, had to learn how to fly. And we learning to fly. Can't be no chicken, I'm something different. Prayed and was optimistic. Hustled, I had to get it. Came out with all my emotions missing. Probably why I drank so much. Cash apps, I ain't gotta hit the bank so much. Goddamn, people like thanks so much, but a couple of them act like they can't show love. I
said,
for you and me, so I never get scared. Pour a little life for my homies right here. I was down bad, when you ain't no bread. Never had none but a couple of ideas. Did a little dirt, but the crime gon' pay. And it's been a long time, but the time go away. Blame it on me, cause it's all my fault. Gotta go get it, cause I'm from the ghost. Yeah, we do the most. I can't abandon my post. Yeah, this is a toast. I spread my wings on you bitches. Now I want the smoke. Catch any wind, catching some wind. I'm flying around in a Benz. It ain't even mine. Fuck it, I live in the moment. I'm
who else is doing it like
this? Let me pretend, yeah. Yeah, let me pretend. Let me pretend, yeah.
Yeah, let me pretend, let me pretend, yeah, let me pretend, yeah, yeah. I pull up, I slide, jiggy finesse, and I'm trying to find me a reason to die. Ain't getting high, smoking this blunt with no feelings. I'm numb to my pain and my pride, American pie. Damn it, my homies is hurt, my mama too tired to try. They told her shit, but it didn't apply. She hit the fan, had to learn how to fly, and we learning to fly. Can't be no chicken, I'm something different. Prayed and I prayed and was optimistic. Hustled and hustled, I had to get it. Came out with all my emotions missing. Probably why I drank so much. Cash apps, I ain't gotta hit the bank so much. People like thanks so much, but a couple of them mad like the can't show love, I swear. For you and me, so I never get scared. Put a little love for my homies, so I hit it. I was down bad, when you no bread. Never had none but a couple of ideas. Did a little dirt, but the crime gon' pay. And it's been a long time, but the time go away. Blame it on me, cause it's all my fault. Gotta go get it, cause girl, I'm gon' slide. Finesse and I'm trying to find me a reason to die. Ain't getting high, smoking this blunt with no feelings. I'm numb to my pain and my pride. American pie. Damn it, my homies is hurt. My mama too tired to try. They told her shit, but it didn't apply. She hit the fan, had to learn how to fly. And we learning to fly. Can't be no chicken, I'm something different. Prayed and I prayed and was optimistic. Hustled and hustled, I had to get it. Came out with all my emotions missing. Probably why I drank so much. Cash apps, I ain't gotta hit the bank so much. Goddamn. People like thanks so much, but a couple of them mad like they can't show love, I swear.
Yeah, that was American Pie by Gringo the MC. When High Five recommended this guy, I was like, well, let me check him out. You know, I fuck with his music heavy. And then as soon as I dropped that track, I was like, oh my God, this is the one going on the pod. I fuck with that motherfucker, said Cash App, so I don't got to go to the bank so much. I was like, yes, sir. I relate to that shit. But thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. If you made it here today, you're a real one. Thank you so much. This is the Well-Spoken Token. I love you guys. I'm out.